Right, so we're thinking about harvest today. I need some volunteers to come and help me. Yep, Elliot, you coming? And Thea? Anyone else want to come and help? Oh, brilliant, Grace, excellent. Right, one of you needs to be a farmer. Which of you wants to be a farmer? Elliot, you want to be the farmer, excellent. Right, put your farmer's hat on. Got to have you looking like a proper farmer. There we go. Excellent. Right, Minthea and Grace, if you stand up there just now, and Andrew will help you with what you need to do in a minute, okay? In fact, if you want to sit down there, that would be great. Right, so farmer. Where are we? Over there. Now, we're thinking about harvest, which is when everything is grown and ready. But we're going to think back a few months to what happened before the harvest. So, now, Mr. Farmer, when Jesus was alive, what the farmers used to do when they sowed the harvest, you know what that means, sowing the harvest? You'd get the seed, and you'd take your seed, and you would throw it. Can you do it? Pretend you're doing that. Pretend you've got some seed in your hand. Just, that's it, throw it. You've got to throw it as far as you can. That's it. Now, Iris will be glad I didn't actually bring seed to do that with because it would have gone everywhere. But you would sow your seed, okay? So I know seeds are usually small, aren't they? Today we're going to have big seeds, okay? So there's one, and I need you to plant it in the earth. Okay, this is our earth. So can you come and plant it in the earth under there? Okay. And let's do another one as well, just so we've got two planted. Right, plant your other one. Brilliant. Okay. So, farmer, that's what happens. You sow your seed, you chuck it out, and it goes everywhere. And then it gets, you have to hide it under the earth, don't you? Otherwise, the birds, and we've got a big bird there just behind you. If we don't hide it under the earth, the birds will steal it, okay? But once you've done that, if you don't know how it works, you might think, well, I've just got rid of all my seed. I had a big bag of seed and I could have made a loaf of bread out of that. But now I've thrown it all away. I can't even see it. It's all buried in the mud. And you know what happens to seed before it grows? It has to die. And you might think, well, that's a bit of a waste, isn't it? I've just thrown it all away. I didn't do anything with it. I've thrown it all away. It's all covered in mud. It's going to die. That was a waste of time, wasn't it? But God is the Lord of the harvest. And that means we don't give up hope because we know he's in charge. So, what do we need to make our seed grow? Anyone, what do we need to make seed grow in our garden? We need, yeah? Water. We do, we need water. We just so happen to have a nice big rain cloud here. Okay, here's our rain cloud. So, farmer, do you want to just help me? Let's just take over to our field. Lots of rain, lots of rain, lots of rain. Excellent. What else do we need to make our seeds grow? Rain and sun. Okay, here's some blazing sunshine. Here we go, here we go. Oops, don't want that one yet. Blazing sunshine. Let's get this shining on our sun. So we've had sun, you hold on to the sun. I'll get the rain as well. Sun and rain. And we have to wait, don't we? We have to wait quite a long time. There's our clock. We're waiting, aren't we, for things to start happening. Now, we don't see much to begin with, do we? They need their balloons as well. I'll take that. But God is the Lord of the harvest. We put our seed in the ground. We get sun and rain that God sends. And God is at work under the ground with the seeds, isn't he? And what's going to happen? So let's just see if anything's happening underground or maybe even above the ground. Anything happening? You've got to wait a long time. Oh, look, things are growing, slowly growing. Yeah, grow a bit more. It's nearly harvest time. What's going to happen? Are we going to get anything? It's okay, just give them a... Right, you take those. Hold them up. Look! Harvest time! Look at all that. Now, let's just think, Elliot, how many seeds did we plant? Two. Okay? Can we count the seeds that are up here now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12,
13, 14. 14, we planted two, and how many have we got now? 14. 14 seeds. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you plant two, and you grow 14 from two. Do you think next year you would want to plant more seeds? Yeah, because you'd get more, won't you? Well done, thank you. You could put those down just now. Thank you, farmer. Thank you, seeds that have grown. Give them a clap. You see, because there's a really important lesson in the harvest, okay? It said, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. God makes the harvest grow. He doesn't just send the sun and the rain to make things actually grow, but he grows the harvest, doesn't he? We only planted two seeds and we had 14. You get a whole lot more than that if you're a real farmer and you know what you're doing. I'm just an amateur at this. But that tells us an important lesson, doesn't it? That God grows the harvest. What we plant isn't just left to get on with it itself. God is in charge of it, and God makes it grow. And we need to remember that it is God who is Lord of the harvest. But you know, God has another way of doing this. It's not just with seeds that God makes things grow and makes lots come out of a little. Because the bit that Arthur read for us was from a letter, not that people get many letters nowadays, it's all emails and texts, isn't it? But it was a letter to the Christians in the church in Corinth, and the letter was from, who can read my writing? Can you read it? What's it say? From Paul, that's right, Paul, who was a friend of Jesus. And he wrote to these Christians because these Christians had promised to give some money, but now they're a bit reluctant to put their hands in their pockets. They're being a bit like Scottish people and being a bit tight with their money. It's okay, I'm allowed to say that. I am Scottish, okay? But the people in the church at Corinth were finding it hard to be generous. So God reminded them about harvest time. And he said, you know, it is hard to give things away. It's like when the farmer stands sowing his seed and he just throws it away. And you think, well, that's that gone. I'm never going to see that again. Feels like that when we give, doesn't it? When we give to other people, we think, well, it's not in my pocket anymore. I've given it away and I don't know what's going to happen to it. And it can be hard to give. But Paul said to them, remember the picture of harvest. Remember that you planted one seed, but God grew loads of seeds out of what you planted. And God can do the same thing. God can do the same. Oh, I need some more helpers. Can I have my helpers again quickly? Any of my helpers? God says, whatever you give, whether it's your time, you can hold that for me, whether it's your money, take care of that, it's my purse, okay, don't lose that, or whether it's any help that you give people, what kind of help could you do with these? Yeah, you could do the washing up, you could do some cleaning, you could clean out a rabbit hutch, okay? He says, whatever you do with what you have, I will make more of it. Just like we had with the seeds, we planted two seeds and we got 14. God says, whatever you give, your time, your money, your help, God can make it grow. So just like we said, didn't we? We'd planted two seeds this year, but we said next year we'd plant more because we got so many more.
If God, we planted more, then we'd get even more.
We would, wouldn't we? So God says, don't be afraid to be generous with what you have, because God will make it more. And not only will he make what we give more, he'll grow us too. And he'll make us just that bit more willing to go, you know what, if God says he's going to do that with my gift, then I'm going to believe him. And I am going to dig a bit deeper in my pocket and give a bit more, because God says he can take what I give and make more of it. And God says he'll enlarge the harvest of my righteousness. That means he's going to make me grow to be more like God. Because God is the best generous giver, isn't he? And the thing is that God gives us the stuff to give anyway. Who gives us our food and our money and our parents' jobs so that they have money? That's God. So he gives us the stuff in the first place, and then he says, can you give it? And don't worry about giving it away. Like the farmer when he throws his seed away and he might think, oh, but I've given it away, I don't have it anymore. God says, don't worry about that, because I'm in charge of making that grow, and I can make that grow and I can also give you more stuff to give. So God says, be like me, be a generous giver, be a cheerful giver, and remember harvest time, because that will help you remember that God takes the little seeds and makes so much more out of it. Thank you very much, my helpers. You can give those back. Thank you very much. Don't worry, I'll get the back of that later. There you go. Thank you, helpers. So God says, be like me, be generous, because he's the Lord of the harvest, and he will grow the seeds that we sow, the things that we give. God will grow and give the increase. Now we're going to sing again. It's a song that we do know. Our God is a great big God. But it's also got a harvest verse about giving. So we're going to stand and sing. And we're going to try the new verse as well. And if you want to do the actions, if anyone wants to come out here and help with the actions, they can. If you want to do them where you're sitting, please do. But don't feel obliged. No one has to do actions. But if you want to help, you can. Let's stand and sing.
Because they say one thing and do another. It's quite a common problem for Christians. People say, I don't believe in God because you don't do what you say you're going to do. And that's really what's at the heart of our little passage this morning. Christians know that they should give, know they should be generous, know they should perhaps tithe, but we don't get around to it. There's always a reason why we don't. And Paul is worried about that this morning. Now, this passage breaks down into a three-point sermon. I haven't preached one of those for a long time. 1 to 5. This is all about showing to visitors. Paul's got people coming to the church. He wants to show them that people are living as Christians. So, point one, are we living as Christians? Point two, which is 6 to 10, which is about why Christians give and why they should be living in a certain way. And verses 11 to 15, giving benefits others, it benefits, blesses us, and it glorifies God. Very, very quickly, Corinthian church had promised to give a gift of money to the church in Jerusalem. Paul had left them to raise it, and he was now getting worried that although they were committed to the idea, they weren't actually going to come good. So he's sending some people ahead of him to just check everything's in place. And one of those people is Titus. We don't know who the other two are. He knows they're a great bunch in Corinth, and he wants the gift gathered. And he says, look, if I turn up with these Macedonians, and you've not done what you promised, things are going to look really bad, aren't they? It'll be a great shame. Isn't that the case with people when they come to church? They go, well, we've heard about what a lovely bunch you are. You go into some Anglican parish churches, and you don't get a good morning. I remember going when I was a curate to look at a church. Nobody spoke to us. We walked in. They gave us a hymn book. We sat down. And the first words they said to us were, you can't sit there. That's where somebody else sits. Move. And they just chucked us out. Now, I was in civvies. I hadn't got the dog collar on. And the vicar introduced me to that person after the service. It was delightful. We don't live up to it. And Paul wants to make sure that not only is God honoured, but the church is honoured. So he tells them that actually they really need to come good on the promise. So 6 to 10, sowing generously. Here's a bushel, or sort of bushel of wheat. An average size, a farmer will sow around 15,000 seeds per, well, to get a reasonable harvest. On a field in our normal, the fields you see around here, 900,000 seeds will be sown. What is a percentage do you think we get germination? Go on, somebody want to hazard a guess. Between 0 and 100% of an average field, if we sow 900,000 seeds, how many do you think, what as a percentage will germinate? Pardon? 50% higher. Pardon? Lower. 75, you're getting close. We're getting very warm over here. 80%. 80% of the average number of seeds sown will germinate. We need to sow generously, don't we? If we're going to get a decent crop and we just sow a handful of seeds, we will get a very small harvest. And Paul's using the image of sowing generously because he wants a good, strong harvest. The farmer sows, the farmer gets back. The farmer scrimps, the farmer doesn't get back. This isn't new teaching. It's there in the Old Testament, in Proverbs. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. How do we apply this to Sileby? The harvest is rich out there. There are lots of people in our village who really do want to know more about Jesus. It recently said in a survey that 68% of people, when asked, would be open to a conversation about God. Work it out. There's 11,000 people in Sileby. We would need to have several morning services if we saw the harvest come in. God doesn't want us to give grudgingly. He wants us to see, catch the vision. Catch the vision that actually there's a great big harvest and we just need to give so that that harvest can be gathered in. We need the kit, the people, the things that we need in the right way. And when we do give, God smiles. Why does God smile? Why does it tell us in the passage that God loves a cheerful giver? Because cheerful givers are trusting God. I've told this story 100 million times. I've probably told it to you several times about Ethel, the old lady in our first church who inherited £30,000, went off to Australia, she was going, and she came to me in the coffee shop and she said, "I'm an evil woman." I said, "What are you talking about, Ethel?" She said, "I didn't give to God first." And she gave me a check for £3,000. God knows that when we're prepared to do that, when we give out of a delight at what he's given us, it makes him smile. It makes God smile. So it's, and people look at us and they go, "This God must be something good. If these people are prepared to trust him with everything." So giving to God is about giving back something that he already gave us. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Because it says God will bless us in the passage. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. But by the way, if you please note, you won't be made rich in verse 11 so that you can enjoy being rich. So this isn't the prosperity gospel. This isn't give and then do godly stuff and you'll get rich. This is give and get richer so that you can give more. This is giving out of a generous and amazing heart. Because of the service you have proved yourself by men with, praise God for the obedience. People will look at us and praise God. And I want you to focus on the last verse. When you are thinking about giving, and we think about harvest, think about verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that? Well, there's a clue in the previous verse, because we've got the word grace. I am a rat bag. I fail. I'm not always a good dad. I'm not always a good husband. I'm not always a very nice person. I've done things wrong. But God, in his grace, said, "I love you, Duncan. I'll share myself with you." That's the indescribable gift. We see it in what we eat and what we have around us and our money, as Leonie said. But it's all about giving back to God that which he gave us so we can give more, so the kingdom can grow, so that people will be blessed, so that we will be blessed, so that God will be glorified. It's part of being a Christian, being generous. And that's all I need to say this morning. Let's give out of the right motive. I want God to smile at St. Mary's Sileby. I want the work to grow. I want the harvest to be gathered in. I want us to grow in faith and trust of God. So let's trust God. Let's give thanks to him for his blessings. Let's give generously in every aspect of our lives. John, I think you're going to lead us in prayer.